In his first epistle to the Church of God in Thessalonica, Paul said the following. This is in the first chapter. In verse 5, in the first part of verse 6, he says, "You know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." What kind of men? You know. You know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. In verse 6, the first part, no, all of verse 6, "And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit." I read this verse because it sets the direction of the message this morning, which is on ministers of the age. And the focus is twofold. It's on what kind of persons they were, and how knowing the kind of persons they were fosters our own development in the Lord. I'm using the verb foster in a precise way. It means to encourage or to promote a development of a certain something or person over a period of time. And probably the most prevailing fostering factor is a certain kind of person who's a pattern. And once you know that kind of person and the pattern, it has an immeasurably profound effect on your being. You realize this dear one is a sinner saved by grace, began as a fallen human in the old creation, was redeemed and regenerated, and the Lord did such a work in him for his body. Surely he can do the same thing in us, not to make us a certain kind of minister necessarily, but to make us the same kind of person. Then in 1 Thessalonians 2, which we won't read for time, Paul gives some details concerning what kind of person he was. He did not speak to please men, but to please God who tests their hearts. He did not covet anything. He did not seek glory from men. He did not misuse his apostolic authority. He was like a nursing mother, an exhorting father. You know what kind of men we were among you. We need to know what kind of men Watchman Nee and Witness Lee were among us. I'll explain how we may do that before too long. A parallel verse to what we just read is in Acts chapter 20, verse 18. Paul is on his way to Jerusalem, and he's at Miletus, and he calls for the elders from the church in Ephesus to come and meet with him. So they came, and he spoke to them a cherishing word, a supplying word, an exhorting word. But this is how he began in verse 18. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you all the time." You know. You don't just have some impression, some opinion. You know how I was with you all the time. For the 3 years in Ephesus, how he was with them when it was necessary for him to labor on tent making to support his co-workers and himself, how he was with them when he taught them publicly and from house to house with tears. A few other verses. How I was with you all the time, serving the Lord as a slave. You know, he's saying, I was this way with you. I was serving the Lord as a slave. I wasn't a king. I didn't exhibit some kind of superior authority. Serving the Lord as a slave with all humility and tears and trials. Verse 20. How I did not withhold any of those things that were profitable by not declaring to you and by not teaching you publicly and from house to house. He didn't hold anything back. Anything that was profitable, he told them. No men pleasing, no fear of men, no politics, no diplomacy, no saving face. Holding nothing back, as he taught publicly and from house to house. Then one other verse, verse 24, or two other verses, verse 24. But I consider my life of no account, as if precious to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to solemnly testify of the gospel of the grace of God. He did not love his soul life. He did not spare his soul life. He did not consider it as precious in itself. His burden was to finish his course, to carry out the ministry given to him. And then in verse 32, knowing that they would not see his face again. And now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who have been sanctified. You know what kind of men we were. You know how we were. This is the person of a new covenant minister. In particular, it's the person of the ministers of this age. We'll see when we read the first section of the outline. There have been ministers of the age at various times. Luther was one. But Luther did not have to be the same kind of person that Brother Nee and Brother Lee had to be, because he didn't have that kind of ministry. Neither did Darby have to be the same kind of person. But in this age, beginning in the 1920s, we may say, the Lord released the vision of the age concerning his economy, the body, the New Jerusalem. And for this, he had to have a ministry of the age, a ministry that would communicate that would impart, that would exhibit the vision of the age. And the Lord knew there had to be persons whose being, whose constitution matched the vision and the ministry. So the Lord raised up two vessels. And the Lord knew, and the Lord decided, He will not go to the prestigious locales in the West. He didn't go to Princeton, Harvard, Yale, Oxford, Cambridge, Tübingen, Basel, the Sorbonne. He went to China. That was his sovereign choice. Now, how can we know something about the ministers of this age as the persons bearing this ministry? Regarding Brother Nee, we never met him. We know him through an intrinsic entering into his ministry. And we know him through Brother Lee and others who knew him, through Brother Lee sharing with us over the decades, through Brother Lee's biography of Brother Nee. We come to know the person in relation to his ministry. Not details we don't need to know about his human life, but about his person as the base of his ministry. And we know Brother Lee, depending on our age and how long we've been here, by sitting under his ministry, by the publications of his ministry, and we can say by being with him. By being with him over decades. So we can say we know. We're not theorizing. We know what kind of men they were among us for our sake. We know what kind of men they were and how they were among us for our sake. And just a brief testimony from 1967 relating to my early interaction with Brother Lee. I came into the church life in September 1966. Moved to Los Angeles the following month. Brother Lee was in Taiwan until toward the end of winter in 1967. I can never forget the first time I saw him speak. It was on a Lord's Day morning in Eldon Hall. I had been in the recovery only 6 months. I didn't know anything. But as he's standing there, two words kept flowing through my mind, I believe from the Spirit. No self. No self. I was astounded. I had never seen such a person. In my background and training, the self was exhibited to the uttermost through the preaching. That is the deep motive of so many, is part of the mixture in their being. So I was in awe. Here is a person with no self. Then two things followed in me. One is a sense of respect. Not knowing anything, I repeat, a respect for all the experiences that he took that brought him to this point, that he could speak like this. I just sense it wasn't without a cost. And that issued in a decision, not a vow, not a promise that I can't keep, a decision. Not to imitate outwardly, but Lord, this is a decision to walk in the same steps that Brother Lee, that brought Brother Lee into this reality. The second matter I mentioned briefly is a few months later, at the beginning of the summer conference and training in Los Angeles. Brother Lee would have a conference for 10 days, a training for 6 weeks. That's why so many of us brothers deliberately got jobs as high school teachers to support our family and to be free for the whole summer. Those days are gone. They're gone. The simplicity is gone. The Lord may recover it. The priority of Christ and the church first, applied to where we live, the jobs we take. Only the Lord knows where we are now. But that was our way of living. I just flowed into it. The dear brothers from Texas, they just came constantly. Well, that's a little sidebar. The Lord cover me and you if it's of no profit. But Brother Lee began to give a series of messages entitled Ministry Through the Cross. They're published in the book Autobiography of a Person in the Spirit. And on the Lord's Day morning, he gave a message concerning what ministry is compared to what gift is. And the short-term benefits of gift for the Lord's interests and the long-term blessing of ministry. So a gift is your ability. Maybe natural by creation. Maybe it's a kind of endowment from the Spirit. But ministry is produced at a cost. It's produced through the cross. It is the issue of revelation plus suffering. But he said this is what the recovery needs. It's what is always needed. Then toward the end of his message, without appealing at all to emotion or trying to stir up anyone, he just presented the matter of the way of gift and the way of ministry and encouraged a number of us. I was young then. I wish I could have made the decision at 16 rather than at 26, but that was my first chance. He encouraged us to pray. Lord, pray like this. Lord, please give me the experiences I need that will produce this ministry. And I prayed that. Not to please him, not to impress anyone. I prayed that before the Lord. That was more than 50 years ago. Would you believe that? Someone could pray that 50 years ago and still be here breathing and sharing with you? Huh? That's resurrection life, huh? And so this message on ministers of the age is a result of much labor under a burden. It's an attempt to give us a view of what kind of persons they were. But we're not doing this to exalt anyone. As far as I have breath, we will never take the way of the brethren that almost 200 years later can just say, Darby and Kelly, Darby and Kelly. Everything is old, dead, moribund, decaying. We honor them. We wouldn't be here without them. But we're not Neites. We're not Leites. We will not establish a denomination. We will not make a camp. But they're a pattern. When you touch them, like when I saw Brother Lee, it impacted my being. My being is still under that impact. I look to the Lord in some way that as we go through the outline, and however you may pursue in the years to come, the ministers as a pattern will foster, will promote, will encourage your own advancement as members of the body of Christ. Amen. And we'll see at the very end, not the end of the outline, because the end of the outline won't be quite the end of the message. We'll see an application very much in line with the vision of the age, the ministry of the age, and the ministers of the age. So we begin reading. One, a minister of the age is one who has the vision of the age and the ministry of the age and knows what God is speaking and doing in the present age. And the fact is, there are scholars, there have been theologians, evangelists, pastors all over the earth for the last 90 years who did not know this. You cannot find a book, you cannot download a message that knows this. But a man from Fuzhou and a man from Chifu got to know this. Amen. That's a fact. A minister of the age knows the special things that the Lord wants to accomplish in this age and knows the Lord's ministry and work in that age. Our brothers knew this by the vision. The one who can take the lead in the Lord's move in this age is the one who knows God's economy and knows what God's speaking is today. Amen. Whoever has God speaking concerning the entire teaching of God's New Testament economy is the leading one in his move and the minister of the age. You have to know by revelation, by vision. You know what God wants to accomplish. Luther knew. God wants to recover the truth of justification by faith. He knew that. It was revealed to him. Romans 1:17 became living to him. The principle is the same in each age, as was illustrated by the nine brothers representing nine patriarchs from Genesis. Now in this age, and we're still in this age, what does God want to do? I've met Billy Graham. I love him. I honor him. He doesn't know this. The pastors of the mega churches, they don't know this. I scan the theological literature for the sake of affirmation and critique. The theologians don't know this. God chose to make it known to two men from China. Oh, that all the Americans and the Westerners could humble themselves and learn from the little man from Chifu. We're in the body. We're just stating the fact. I repeat, we're not a sect around these persons. B. Luther was a minister of his age. I'm glad he was, and I'm glad I wasn't there. And Darby was a minister of his age. That's right, and I'm glad I wasn't there. Brother Nee and Brother Lee were ministers of the present age, and hallelujah, we're here! Then we quote Brother Lee regarding Brother Nee, and this quote is here because this is the standing and the attitude of the blended slaves and co-workers, as Brother Lee was to Brother Nee, we will be to Brother Lee. Brother Lee is a pattern of how to receive, how to be perfected, how to follow, how to be faithful, how to continue without improperly exalting anyone. So we are perfected by that pattern. I love that verse in 1 Timothy where Paul says, continue in the things which you have learned, you heard in the presence of many witnesses, remembering those from whom you have learned them. So we'll continue in the things, but we remember. So Brother Lee says, I saw there was the Lord's commission upon Brother Nee, which is the ministry. The ministry. I also knew that Brother Nee was the one chosen, commissioned by the Lord in this age to bring in his recovery. Brother Lee already had a prevailing work. Brother Lee's capacity, humanly and spiritually, was extraordinary. He was asked by Brother Nee and the co-workers to relocate to Shanghai with his family. And as Brother Lee prayed about it, the Lord showed him the one flow, the one stream. And he let everything go, everything he had, and immersed himself in this flow to be under the minister of the age. In the decades, I've observed two kinds of results of capable brothers that touch the church life. They're in two categories. Some saw the vision, touched the ministry, were impacted by the person, were humbled before the Lord, let go of everything, and consecrated their whole life and their future to the Lord to take this way. Others came in, but inwardly always held something back. Then the Lord knows when the times of sifting came through turmoils, they left. So there's quite a pattern here. How to be toward the ministers of the age, as Brother Lee was to Brother Nee. Now I'm about to go through a number of characteristics of the ministers of the age as patterns. But I just quickly mention four matters that are not covered here. Very quickly. The ministers of the age, Brothers Nee and Lee, were men of extraordinary ability, intellectual and otherwise, remarkable. But they allowed everything natural and all their natural ability to be terminated by the cross, so that all of their ability was in resurrection. There's nothing natural that comes to us through their ministry. The second is they were tree of life men. I don't know what is occurring to you now when I mention they're tree of life persons. I don't mean they only ate of the tree of life and were nourished by the tree of life. I mean, they lived by the principle of the tree of life, not by the principle of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You read Brother Nee's booklet, Two Principles of Conduct. These two brothers experienced the most radical of transactions, out from under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, to the tree of life. They're living in another realm. A third thing is that they knew the central work of God. After Brother Lee recovered from about a 2-year, now we can call it a hiatus, but a 2-year period of recovering from very serious tuberculosis, our brother Minoru pointed out to us that a deep change took place in his being. And the ministry as we know it emerged from that time. Then once he was healed and could minister again, and Brother Nee's ministry was restored or resumed, they both gave messages together. And a crucial subject is the central work of God. At the gathering we had for Brother Lee at the Anaheim Convention Center on the morning of his funeral, we surveyed his work in China, Taiwan, and the U.S. I would say unprecedented. But his view is that the central work of God is to work himself in Christ as the Spirit into our being. Amen. The person is the work. And then the other matter is, and this is something by which the Lord will measure us co-workers. We would do well to reconsider this now. The ministers of the age paid more attention to life than to work. That was always the case. Now, as I transition into the next section, I want to tell you my personal conviction. I don't claim to have an exhaustive knowledge of church history, but neither am I totally lacking. If someone is sober and thorough, you consider the ministers of the age, their vision, their ministry, and their person. Where do you have to go in church history to find a match? Andrew Murray was outstanding, not a match. Darby, no. Whitfield, no. Wesley, no. Calvin, no. Luther, no. Thomas Aquinas, no. Augustine, no. You have to go all the way back to the apostles. Where we are in the Lord's recovery is this. The recovery has reached the stage of the full recovery of the ministry, the vision given to the apostles. I'm not exalting anyone. It's just the fact. Darby did not have Brother Nee's constitution. Luther didn't have Brother Lee's constitution. The Lord needed a certain kind of person to carry out a particular kind of ministry under the vision of the age, so that the desire of God's heart for this age will actually be carried out. Amen. To as ministers of the present age, Brother Nee and Brother Lee are patterns to us, okay? So that we may be perfected, that is, supplied and equipped unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. I'll return to this at the end. A, the ministers of the age are constituted by and with the Lord as the life-giving and transforming spirit through sufferings, consuming pressures, and the killing work of the cross. I'd like to read one of Watchman Nee's hymns, but let's not be maudlin or sentimental about it. This shows his person. Hymn 626, olives that have known no pressure, no oil can bestow. If the grapes escape the winepress, cheering wine can never flow. Spikenard only through the crushing fragrance can diffuse. Shall I then, Lord, shrink from suffering, which thy love for me would choose? Each blow I suffer is true gain to me. In the place of what thou takest, thou dost give thyself to me. Do my heart strings need thy stretching songs divine to prove? Do I need for sweetest music cruel treatment of thy love? Lord, I fear no deprivation if it draws to thee. I would yield in full surrender all thy heart of love to see. I'm ashamed, my Lord, for seeking self to guard all way. Though thy love has done its stripping, yet I've been compelled this way. Lord, according to thy pleasure, fully work on me, heeding not my human feelings. Only do what pleases thee. If thy mind and mine should differ, still pursue thy way. If thy pleasure means my sorrow, still my heart shall answer yea. 'Tis my deep desire to please thee, though I suffer loss, e'en though thy delight and glory mean that I endure the cross. Then the last stanza. Oh, I'll praise thee, even if weeping mingles with my song. Thine increasing sweetness calls forth grateful praises all day long. Thou hast made thyself more precious than all else to me. Thou increase, and I decrease, Lord. This is now my only plea. This is the kind of person was the minister of the age. One, in the epistles of Paul, we see revelation, suffering, and ministry. How much life and how much reality of the riches of Christ we can minister depends on two elements. How much revelation we have received and how much we have suffered for what has been revealed to us. So this is characteristic of all new covenant ministers, but it's especially characteristic of the ministers of the age who had the responsibility to bring forth the vision of the age. In 1939, at the age of 37, Brother Nee was giving marvelous ministries on the reality of the body of Christ, the glorious church, the man-child, the new Jerusalem. I don't believe you could find anywhere on the earth right now anyone at the age of 37 who was at that point. What did he pass through in order to have that spiritual capacity? But the Lord needed. There's a time factor here. This vision has to be released. This vision has to be constituted into someone. This vision has to be ministered. By 1939, and on it goes. I say again, we don't exalt a person, but we thank the Lord for raising up such a ministry and such ministers. B, the ministers of the age are ministers of the Word. Brother Nee has an entire book, The Ministry of God's Word. If you want to read it, okay, just prepare yourself for quite a journey. Without ministers of the Word, we cannot have God's Word. That is God's presence speaking. You just consider, how do we know what God wants to speak? Who knows? This was the cry in my prayer with brothers on the day we buried Brother Lee. How will we know what to speak? How will we know? There has to be a means of communication. Lord, what do you want to speak to your recovery? The Lord covers us, but for 20 years, our dear Lord has been letting us know. And he let us know what he wants to speak to the churches in Southern California, June 10th, June 11th, 2017, Amen. In the present age. Amen. God's ministers of the Word are those through whom God can speak his Word once again. The responsibility of the ministers of the Word is to allow God to speak through the Scriptures once again. The ministers of God's Word are those who open the Bible and convey to their audience the words of God's present speaking. There are very dear brothers. They're brothers in the Lord. They're not among us. They're in the Reformed tradition. They're Calvinists. Their mission is to revisit the Lord's recovery 500 years ago. Interestingly, the Lord has led us to go to Germany just before the 500th anniversary of Luther's 95 Theses. We do not know yet what the Lord wants to speak. But while others may be celebrating what happened 500 years ago. We are proclaiming what God is doing now.
Amen.
And part of our feeding for Germany is Lord, in the Lord's move. Let's go to finish what Luther started.
Amen.
Germany needs to know what God is speaking now. The ministers of God's word are those. Okay, I read that. Little c, the words of the Bible become the word of God in their mouth. They become life and light. That is the words, not merely outward letters. That's characteristic of the ministry. It's not dead letters. I don't know how often Brother Nee, with his colossal memory and mind, read the Bible. He was reading the New Testament once a week for a period of time, for a year or so. They thoroughly know what it's saying, but they don't minister the letter, but spirit and life. See, the ministers of the age live a crucified life, for the manifestation of the resurrection life by the excellent power of the treasure in the earthen vessels. That little booklet, Treasure in Earthen Vessels. Don't be discouraged that you're an earthen vessel. Paul was an earthen vessel. Watchman Nee was an earthen vessel. Witness Lee is an earthen vessel. I'm looking at a few thousand earthen vessels, but wow, what a treasure is in you all.
Amen.
And so, these ministers of the age are a pattern of earthen vessels with a treasure who minister life by dying. That's a subtitle in the life study of 2 Corinthians, based upon 2 Corinthians 4:12. Death operates in us, but life in you. So they minister life by dying, because that releases life through them into the body. The indwelling Christ as the treasure in the earthen vessels is the divine source of the supply of the Christian life and the excellent power to live a crucified life for the manifestation of the resurrection life. So this treasure in us is energizing. It's the source of supply. It's the source of the power. The working of the cross terminates ourself so that we may enjoy the God of resurrection. Such experience produces and forms the ministry. Okay, the working of the cross terminates the self so that we may enjoy the God of resurrection. Let me tell you something about the self. And I don't know if some of you are familiar with the expression. This is coming back from, I don't know when, the 40s. It's a killjoy. It kills our joy. It's the most miserable place to be. In the self. Ugh. Then when you're in the self, I can't call them vital companions, your roommates are Satan and opinion and the natural life. It's actually, our brothers knew this. They didn't go around moping with a sad face. Oh, I'm bearing the cross. Pity me. No. They enjoy the God of resurrection.
Amen.
The self just kills our joy. It kills others' joy. So these ministers let the cross terminate the self. Then they enjoyed the God of resurrection. And that produced the ministry. So what kind of persons are they? They are persons, okay, they live this way. They terminated the self under the operation of the cross. Then they enjoyed God as the God of resurrection. Brother Nee's little booklet, a classic, The God of Resurrection. This is the deepest enjoyment of God, not just that He's living and we're living, but He is living in resurrection, and now we're living with Him in resurrection. And we bear with Him the testimony. His resurrection life is stronger than death. Death cannot hold the resurrection life. Isn't it a blessing to know a person like this? Even a sister or a brother becoming a person like this, their very presence, their short prayers, minister to you, the life that swallows death. Three, the name Jesus in 2 Corinthians 4:11 implies that the apostles lived a life like the one the Lord Jesus lived on earth. The Lord's life was a life under the killing of the cross for the manifestation of the resurrection life, a life lived in such a way that His person was one with His ministry, and His life was His ministry. See, with the New Covenant ministers as a category, and with the ministers of the age as a select number among this category, their person is their ministry. Their constitution is their ministry. They minister the building and builded God. They minister the God who in Christ is building Himself into those who are open for this. And they minister the builded God. They minister the triune God who has been wrought into their being. Sometimes they may sincerely ask you, how is your health? And you get life. They might say, hi, and you get life. This is the convergence of the vision of the age, the ministry of the age, and the ministers of the age. All this converges in their constitution. So they minister the Christ that has been wrought into them. And as you're receiving that, there's just the echo of reality in you. You know, it's not theory. It's not doctrine. It's not merely revelation even. This is real. And this can happen to me too. That's why He's speaking. And regarding this, Paul, who had been in Ephesus for 3 years, holding nothing back, because he had received much higher revelation in his confinement, he knelt down, although chained to a centurion, and he prayed the prayer for constitution in Ephesians 3. Prayed that the Father of glory would strengthen us with power through His Spirit into the inner man, so that Christ may make His home in our hearts through faith. Amen. This is the prayer of a God-constituted person. For when we are under the killing of the Lord's death, His resurrection life is imparted through us into others. In Brother Lee's ministry, a very touching illustration is drawn from Joshua. The people of Israel are about to cross the Jordan. The priests are carrying the ark. And the word they get from God through Moses Just put your foot down. Soon as they stepped in, the water stopped. And they stood in that region of death, holding the ark until all the people had passed over. That's ministry. That's the minister of the age. And for Brother Nee, that standing in the Jordan took the form of 20 years of imprisonment. But he knew he was safe in Hong Kong. He knew he had to go back. It was the Lord's will. It was the Lord's way. It will take eternity, I believe, to manifest what kind of life was released into the body by that faithful priest standing there. And in June 1972, when Brother Lee heard that Brother Nee had gone to the Lord, his heart was broken. He said in the meeting, he can hardly bear to minister. But he ministered for another 25 years. Standing in the realm of death, without self-pity, without wanting sympathy, without giving any indication of what is going on, so that life could flow in us. How can we not thank the Lord for such persons? We know what kind of men they were among us for our sake. D, the ministers of the age work together with God by an all-fitting life and with the intimate concern of the ministering life. You just listen to the dear brother among us who for a while was a cellmate with Brother Nee. You will hear about an all-fitting life lived in that situation. When Brother Nee's beloved wife died, he just asked for a reprieve to go attend the funeral. The cruelty was such, they wouldn't let him go. But an all-fitting life. And the note left under his pillow concerning what he lived for and died for. An all-fitting life. It's not the human ability to adjust, to adapt. So whether you're flexible or stiff, adaptable or rigid, forget it. We got an all-fitting life. Yes. And look at some of the details here. This life is for you. The ministers paid the price to release it. Brother Lee gave messages on us so that we can even begin to think about such a thing and pray about such a thing. We need to work together with God by a life, not by a gift, that is all-sufficient and all-mature. So we're heading toward the mature part. Able to fit all situations. Okay, all situations means all situations. Able to endure any kind of treatment. There are some experienced brothers, they're even co-workers among us. They just couldn't bear any criticism. They couldn't bear it. It shows what kind of life they're living by. If it's an all-fitting life, it doesn't matter. But those in darkness go online and say, it doesn't matter. Doesn't affect you. The Lord himself said to us, they called the master of the house Beelzebub. How much more those of his household? The all-fitting life isn't bothered. The all-fitting life prays. Brother Lee was once giving a message and he was dealing with the opposition from the outside. And he said something like this. He said, I do believe that in the new heaven and new earth, these opposers will come to me and say, Brother Lee, we'd like to apologize and repent for opposing you in the age of grace. Then Brother Lee, in this dialogue, he told us obviously what he already did. He said, it's okay. I forgave you already in the age of grace. I didn't hold out until you come humbly before me. I forgave you already. This is the all-fitting life. Wouldn't you like to become this kind of person? To be able to give any awis, any offenses, anything, whether the other party repents or not, you just forgive. Then you pray, Lord, I forgive. I ask you to forgive. I ask you to forget. All-fitting life. And to take any kind of opportunity for the carrying out of our ministry. I'll tell you, the Lord will give us some of the oddest of opportunities, the most surprising situations to minister life, and the all-fitting life just flows. Well, our dear brothers had such a life. This is how they were among us all the time. Okay. Well, he got to serve with Brother Lee, not as someone with special privileges, as one of his co-workers, for 23 years. He was like this all the time. Okay? All the time. Even when he was meeting with a group of brothers from January to May of 1997, he wanted us to be on hand to meet with him two or three mornings a week. Whatever he was going through, there you see it. This is how an all-fitting life endures sickness. And this is how a person with an all-fitting life finishes his course. That does something to you. It fosters your own life with the Lord. We need an enlarged heart. They have the intimate concern of the ministering life. So this life gives you not only a love, but an intimate concern, a personal concern. You ask about someone's health because you care about that person. You ask about that couple's daughter because you care for all of them. All of them. Our brothers, the ministers of the age, their heart was so large. You can include all the believers. They were so one with God, they had such a heart. How fruitful we are does not depend on what we are able to do, but on whether or not we have an intimate concern. And there's no point in trying to manufacture this. Others know. We just know. But when we touch the real thing, the real concern, it just melts your heart. There's not only love. There's not only a concern. It's an intimate concern of the all-fitting life. Then the last section, well, almost the last section, and then a concluding word, and we're doing okay with time. The ministers of the age are a drink offering. So that means they experience Christ as the vine, and that signifies Christ's sacrificing life. So they lived a sacrificing life that produces the cheering wine, the wine that cheers God and man, mentioned in Psalm 104 and in Judges 9. So they themselves are just filled with an incredible delight in the Lord. And this wine saturates their being. Then this is how they end, how Paul ended. And he's telling Timothy, I'm already being poured out. Echoing what he said in Philippians 2. I'm a drink offering poured out upon your faith as the basic offering. So these ministers live the life of sacrifice to produce wine to cheer God. They made God happy. I believe God received a lot of delight knowing Watchman Nee was there living such a life. I can't prove this. Wouldn't surprise me if there was a conversation in the air, because the adversary still has some access. Wouldn't surprise me if the Lord said, look at that man in China. You see him? What do you see? I'll tell you what I see. I see me living again. I see a life of sacrifice. I see life flowing out of him. The more you do, the more life is released. So Paul ended his course by being poured out. And this is the way the ministers concluded. The vine depicts the sacrificing Christ. Out of his sacrifice, he produced new wine to cheer God and man. If we contact this Christ and experience his sacrificing life, he will energize us to live a life of sacrifice, producing wine to make others and the Lord happy. One thing we can say at the end of every conference we had with Brother Lee and every training, we were happy. In about 3 weeks, we're going to do this again. The second part of Ezekiel will be much weightier than the first, because we're getting into the real goal. But I believe the wine is being prepared over a period of time. It'll be poured out. God's going to be happy. The churches will be happy. You will be happy. Paul told the Corinthians regarding his ministry, we do not lord it over your faith. We are fellow workers for your joy. And so we shouldn't have the thought, oh, wow, these ministers of the age, I mean, they have suffered so much to produce the ministry. Then they suffer even more to carry out the ministry. And they experience the cross to such an extent. I mean, wow, if I open up a ministry book, I'm going to just be weighed down. No. You read a couple pages and you're going to have your joy recovered. Amen. It's really mysterious. You can read any of Brother Lee's books, Brother Nee's writings, and there's just a supply there. Wouldn't you like to become that kind of person? Not as a minister of the age. Anyone who has that thought is deluded, okay? But to be a ministering member of the body, because they're a pattern for us all. We're not living vicariously through them, like Christianity does with its heroes. They're fathers. What's in a father's heart for his children? That they... A father begets, then he supplies and trains and perfects his children until they're of age. Then he gives them everything. with the hope they would go on. That's the heart of our fathers. That's why we are trying to give such a word. I don't believe we've ever had a message quite like this. Just the fact. We're trying to do it. 3, the drink offering typifies not only Christ himself, but also the Christ who saturates us with himself as heavenly wine until he and we become one to be poured out for God's enjoyment and satisfaction and for God's building. As far as I know, I'm pretty sure, but maybe I'm mistaken. Who was the first one in Scripture to pour out a drink offering? It was Jacob who had become Israel. That conniver, that subtle cheater, that supplanter, that very clever fellow, after so many experiences of this and that, of loving Rachel, getting Leah, then getting Rachel, on and on it goes, the Lord brought him to Bethel the second time. And he built an altar, called it El Bethel, the God of the house of God, and he poured out a drink offering. So we're a bunch of Jacobs, maybe not quite as clever and crafty as he, but still a challenge. Don't believe in your past. Don't believe in your condition. Don't believe in your weaknesses. Believe in the power of the wine produced by the sacrificing Christ to make you a different kind of person. So you just want to pour out your being, holding nothing back for the Lord's delight, for the saints' supply, for God's building. Finally, and this will lead to the concluding word in 2 or 3 minutes. The ministers of the age have one goal: the building up of the church as the body of Christ to consummate the new Jerusalem. This is the goal of their ministry because it's the goal of their vision, and this was their personal goal. God's goal was their goal. And they both lived in this reality. And toward the end of their respective ministries, both were burdened for the functioning of all the members of the body, for the building up of the body of Christ. So here's now the final word and the application. There are 2 points. The first is, we are still under, we are still with the ministers of this age. We believe because the Lord's coming is drawing near, it's very unlikely there will be another minister of the age. But only God can decide that. So none of us should have the thought or the dream. Even in your daydreams, brothers, you know, instead of winning the Super Bowl, you might daydream about being today's super apostle. No, don't dream about that. Just pray to be a normal member of the body. Amen. But there is a great need. And as we are waiting the Lord's coming, there'll be a greater need. We need a new generation of real ministers, new covenant ministers. Brothers, matched by the sisters who support them, who choose ministry over gift. Brothers who will present themselves to the Lord with a willingness for him to do whatever he needs to do in them to produce this ministry. I have a concern, it's not a fear. That if there's a time when the present blending brothers cannot function the way they are now, what will be here? A group of brilliant, gifted, eloquent brothers? That would break my heart. The Lord's recovery in this age was not brought here by brilliant, eloquent, gifted men, but by broken, humbled, Christ-constituted brothers who served as slaves and died as burnt offerings. And it's been in my heart for years and years that the Lord would move in so many lives. I didn't understand it at the time. The Lord called me when I was 16. It took me 12 years later to understand that I had misunderstood it. But the Lord is kind and patient. So if this echoes in you, brother, no matter what your age is, just have some time with the Lord and present yourself to Him. Don't save yourself, please. Don't love your soul life. Love Him. Love the church. Love the saints. Present yourself to Him. But actually, the parallel application is this. Sooner or later, Ephesians 4:16 must be fulfilled. Out from whom the head, all the body, through every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation and measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. That's the goal. Ephesians 4:16 was Brother Nee's goal. It was Brother Lee's goal. It was Paul's goal. It is God's goal. It is our goal. But three things need to take place in all of us if we're to participate in that. The first is the prayer in Ephesians 3. To be strengthened with power into our inner man, that Christ may make His home in our hearts. The second is that we are willing to be perfected by the gifts in specific, definite, practical ways. This is ordained by God. The gifts need to be ready to sacrifice. All the saints need to have the heart and the willingness to be perfected by the apostles, by the prophets, by the evangelists, by the shepherds and teachers. And then we all need to grow up into the head, Christ, in all things. Then we are in a situation where out from the head, into whom we have grown up into all things, all the body will cause the growth of the body. And knowing, to some extent, the ministers of this age, with their vision, their ministry, their constitution, their life, and their burden, and now their goal, I believe we can be perfected, we can be fostered, we can be supplied, we can be encouraged. Because God's way is this. All the saints are perfected unto the work of the ministry. And the ministry unto which you are being perfected is nothing other than the ministry of this age, brought to you by the ministers of the age, serving under the vision of the age. Sooner or later, I'm still hoping for sooner rather than later, we will fulfill all these conditions. Christ making His home in us, actually being perfected, growing up into Christ in all things. Now the saints all over the earth will do the work of the ministry, the building up of the body of Christ. So this concludes our presentation to you on the vision of the age, the ministry of the age, and ministers of the age. The vision, the ministry, the ministers, and those benefiting from all three have one goal. Do the work of the ministry unto the building up of the body of Christ. Please take a minute with someone nearby to pray for this. Then we'll have some prophesying. Then we'll have maybe 15 minutes of fellowship to conclude the meeting by about 12:30. Amen.